So the first question that I have on is from Matthew 11, 13 through 14. It says, when Jesus, and I think it was for Mark. That's probably Mark 11, 13 through 14. I got to check and make sure. In fact, let me turn this. So Mark 11, 13 through 14. Yes. So Mark 11, 13 through 14. It says, seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out. Well, I'm gonna start with 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now, some may say, and that's where the question's coming off, basically, so how was that faith? The question was, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, even though it said it wasn't time to produce fruit, how did what he did display faith if that was the purpose? So it displays something else. I'll explain what it displays. And of course, Jesus only did what God told him to do. But it's and once again, this was one that I always kind of struggle with when you read it. But the translation is implying that it's not saying it wasn't fig season, even though they translated in English that way. What they're saying, it wasn't ready for figs to be picked. So in other words, the excuse couldn't be there are no figs because everybody picked them all. That's what most commentators say. Others just go, I don't know. So I'm caught in between. You know what I mean? I hear what they're saying on that because, of course, Jesus doesn't react out of anger. And they put that in there for a reason. And even when I look at the translations, it's not as clear for you to think that it doesn't mean that or that it does mean that. I could see where they get that. So, and many, and some of the commentators were saying it was definitely fig season during that time. I don't know how they knew that, but, and I didn't go deeper into that. But that's one of the main things on. They're not saying that it wasn't ready for figs. They're saying it wasn't seasoned for them to be picked. So that couldn't be the excuse why it didn't have figs. And it was even given a tree even more. And what that represented was that tree at that time represented us, or at the time the Israelites, but it represents all people and our responsibility is to produce fruit. That's exactly it. Jesus expects fruit. All the other games we may play, this is a beautiful tree with leaves and all this other stuff, but it was purpose was to make fruit and it withered because it didn't. So it hits that whole fruit process for us to understand. So that's the whole thing behind it. But it wasn't, saying Jesus reacted out of anger because he was hungry. But that's the best answer we have for it. And that's the best answer I have for it. Question number two. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, this is being yoked with unbelievers mean that we have to be in some kind of agreement with them, not that we are just being around them. That's correct. It's some kind of agreement, absolutely, where they have a say in you two agreement. You understand? That's a partnership. Think of it more of as a partnership. So yoked together is exactly that, where you have a full agreement. Now, when you're working for somebody, the only agreement you have is not a partnership. You're working for them, and you either listen to them or you don't. But you're not in agreement with them. That's how come you can get a job and be in that case. You understand that. Just the same thing with our government. But when you're yoked with somebody, they have a say in your life, and you have a say in their life. Same thing with a business. You have a say in that business. They have a say in that business as well. So you both have a say. And unfortunately, because you're yoked together, those two say matches, you're responsible for both says, if that makes sense, or both responses in there. And that's why he says, do not be, because we really have nothing in common. And there's a couple of sermons we hear me more talking about that even more so. But yes, so, but being around them is a requirement of Christians. That's why I'm glad that was asked, because we are supposed to be around unbelievers. That is a resource. That's the only way we can minister to them. So let's not try to get out of it. Like I said, into a Christian community, our responsibility is to be around them. Question number three. There are many scriptures that tell us to help those in need. So when we volunteer to assist organizations with feeding the hungry or disaster relief, is the partnership or lending a helping hand? Is that partnership or lending in a helping hand? Very good question. So there's nothing wrong with going to these outside organizations to help, as long as we're careful not to let them lead fully in that help. Now, in other words, you would do it like you would go to your own job, but you understand limitations and where it goes from there. You wouldn't just follow an organization. And you already know, hopefully as a Christian, what we are supposed to do when it comes to minister. So you're not, you're in that organization helping, and you're ministering to the people in that organization, but you're very careful not to just do things to do it. So your purpose is always still clear, and you can still use that as an avenue to help. Absolutely. But the minute the place adds another element of helping or something that's outside of God, that's when you would either step away or find another way of helping. So that was a good question. Yes, you don't partner with them because their purpose is going to be different. Our purpose has to be God's in every case at all times. So good question. Number four. So does Philippians 2:4 tie into looking to the interest of others when we take part? In other words, the question was attached to the last question. So does Philippians 2:4, is that talking about when this is look at the interests of others, is that the same thing as helping others? No. So when you look at Philippians 2, you have to start in verse 3, where it tells us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Problem is, you don't see this as much anymore. What it's telling us, and you got to listen close on this, all Christians are never to live their life based on what they, how they see it and what they want. I have to consider others. Does that make sense? And this is a huge thing in marriage. Marriages would get this, man. It would be a big key thing when you understand that. Because a lot of us, when I know what I think I know, you know what I mean? And I know how I feel and what I want. So unfortunately, we may look at others, and when they want something different or slightly or whatever, we kind of blow them off, and you don't know what you're talking about and what's the matter with you. Not realizing this verse is saying never do that. This verse is saying never. So when it's saying take consideration others' interests as well as yours, it's saying, yeah, of course, yours can play a part. But listen, I'm talking about intently taking on what they're saying, their point of view, that understanding, what they want. All of that stuff has to be considered in all of our walks. And a lot of times what we try to do is sway people to our way of thinking or what we want. And that's kind of selfish and self-centered and selfish ambition. So that's never to be done. So we always do things recognizing we have desires and we have a way of thinking, but we have to always consider others. That's why it says humbly consider others better than yourselves. Two more. Can you explain anointing versus consecration, also transgression versus sin? All right. And that one, it's funny because, first of all, anointing and consecration. Consecration is when the part was made for you. So a priest, especially, and you'll hear those words mostly in the Old Testament. So the priest, that's what you're made to be. You're consecrated to be a priest. And part of it was there was washings they had to do, certain clothes they had to do, and there was anointing. And anointing was more of the, think of it as the badge or the thing that was put on them. It was from oil back then, but the anointing was part of what God put in that consecrating. But they were consecrated to be a priest, or somebody was consecrated to be whatever that was, be whatever he had in line. That's what it was to make you that something. That's why some people say you were consecrated with oil. Okay, so that same thing came into play as well. Okay, so but the main thing, they kind of blend with each other, but consecration is when you are going to be that something. God made you that something. We're sanctified right now. Okay, so as Christians, that's a consecration in itself. I am set apart for his purpose. But in the Old Testament, there were certain positions. The kings were consecrated, the high priests were consecrated, and then they got anointed. You know what I mean? Then that gave them that power or that badge of God. And then you had sin and transgression, which are used interchangeably, but they are actually two different words, especially in the Old Testament. And transgression means breaking the law, literally. And sin means doing wrong, which in many cases are the same thing. That's why sometimes you'll hear in the Old Testament, they'll use both. You know, where did I break the law? Where did I do something wrong? They're just kind of emphasizing, show me where I went wrong. So they can be used interchangeably, but that's what those two mean. Final question. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, can you explain what it means to discharge all the duties of your ministry? Okay, now, as he's saying this to Timothy, and of course it's inspired, and the Bible is for us, and it goes for us as well. So you can't, I as a Christian, when it says discharge all the duties, I have to love, I have to be patient. I have to, and I can go down the list. You, just as I started with those words, you know, the things that we are responsible for doing, I can't pick a small part and then pat myself on the back, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I'm responsible for doing all of it. It means to let out all of it. When you minister, your life has to display everything of your ministry. You don't bottle some of it up because you're not comfortable doing it. You do everything that the Bible tells us to do, and then what we're supposed to do as our individual part of the body. Okay, so if you're responsible for doing it, to do it is what it means. So, you know, you don't hold it back for whatever your reasons. He's saying do them all. That's why God gave them to us, to do them. Hopefully I answered all of those. I'm sure I'll be letting known if I didn't. All right. Other questions?
Pastor Key.
Yes. How you doing, man?
Good, good. We have I was supposed to remind you something, but I forgot. it was from men's group, though.
Yeah, I know. Wait a minute. Yes. So you asked a question at men's group. Oh, man.
Oh, anything done without faith, is that pertaining to the vaccine? I think that's what it was.
Good question. Thank you. All right. People have to answer. Thank you, man. Thank you for remembering, then not remembering, then remembering, because you know my memory, so I appreciate it. So the question that was asked was, so let's say somebody was taking the vaccine, but they doubted the vaccine in itself. Is that, because it's doubt, is that sin? So great question. Understand how that process works. You have to understand me taking the vaccine is me saying, or you taking it or not taking it, that's between you or God if you're going to take it. Now, what you think the vaccine is going to do is between you and the vaccine or between you and medication. Does that make sense? In other words, if you feel as though it's not in between my relationship with God, that I'm not supposed to take this vaccine, has nothing to do if it works or whatever, you understand that, you taking it would be a sin. Has nothing to do with it working or anything like that, right? Okay. Or if you took the vaccine, and you doubted that he wanted you to take it. That's where the sin comes in. Not, is it going to work? Is it going to make me sick? Or is it going to help me? So on and so forth. What it does afterwards is something totally different on that. So don't mix the two up in that sense. It's always what God wants me to do. And please understand this. The Bible is very clear on certain things. You know what I mean? Like, I can't go. Does God want me to go steal that money or not? That you know, that's he's not going to go against himself, if that makes sense. You know, go murder that person. I'm struggling because I don't want to go against God. You understand that he's not going to go against himself. So some of those things that we struggle with, I'm going to sin anyway by not doing what he says clearly. These are for those matters that he leaves to us. That's between him and I, those disputable matters and those situations in our lives. That's why he's saying anything done without faith. Faith means I'm good, because I know I'm good with God in it. But this is where we got to be careful in that also, because people have taken such a license with saying they're good with God. We really warp that. You got a lot of people walking around very confident in their relationship with God, and I think almost to their demise. There's no fear. There's no reverence today. You know what I mean? So because that's lacking, we kind of do things, and we don't, what we, when we say we're okay with God in doing this, what we're really saying is I'm okay, so God's okay. And we don't say, I didn't really check, I didn't pray about it, I didn't look in his word. We just do it and say, I'm good. And we carelessly do things. And I see a lot of people getting hurt in certain things, doing some foolish things. Once again, that's why we did wisdom before this whole pandemic started. Hopefully it was stimulating people's mind to realize his biggest relationship with us is wisdom. And it's really going to show, he provides wisdom. Worldly wisdom is not wisdom. So he provides that for us. So keep that in mind. So if you can doubt the vaccine all you want. Okay, that's between you and how you feel about it. But you taking the vaccine, that's where you have to come with God and say, okay, God, what, you know, I want to pray and make sure, am I doing the right thing? Am I not? You understand that. So that's something you want to really pray about. Make sure you know what you're doing in the word when you go into it from there. Other questions?
I have a question about prayer.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you hear people praying and they say, I declare and decree such a thing. Is that giving a demand to God, or is that proper?
It is giving the command, and it's not really that proper. They're taking from the verse, you know, you know, that they're accepting or that they believe, but they go a step further, because especially the faith, and they were the Take It Faith group, in which Price, who just passed away, he was one of the leaders of that whole entire thing, in which they believed by faith it was theirs. They believed, they were very strong part of the prosperity ministry that believed, if I'm supposed to be rich, I'm supposed to have what I want. So instead of going to God and asking, they would say, you go take it. And they would even say, don't say in your prayers, your will be done. In fact, he said in one of his books, or two of his books, don't say, thy will be done. He said, because minute you did it, you canceled out your prayer. It was nonsense. It made no, his reasoning behind it was fully his false doctrine that was behind it, and nothing in the Bible. So when they start saying, I declare or I take and stuff like that, the only time you can do that, do something like that, it has to be very clear in the Bible that it's saying to go ahead and do that. And in most cases, that's not the case. So yeah, when you hear people say that, they're coming from that mentality. And there's a lot of churches that were taught that, to go demand it, go take it, because it's yours. And you need to just go take it. And so that's where they start declaring things, and usually nothing.
Thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
Yeah. So what Chancellor was talking about, does that not tie in with when you pray to believe and you'll receive it if it's in God's will?
Yep. But to believe that you receive it. But remember, that's still with sound doctrine, that it has to be in his will. Because most people say that if you believe that you'll receive, which that verse does say, then you will receive whatever you ask. That by itself sounds like all I have to do is believe I'm going to get it. But once again, sound doctrine shows me sometimes he's going to say no because of my motives. It also shows me if it's not within his will, I'm not going to get it. You understand? A lot of times he says no when it works to our advantage. You know, like he said when Paul asked about the thorn. So absolutely. But, you know, Paul didn't go, I'm claiming this thorn to be gone, or I'm demanding. And as of tomorrow, I'm standing believing that it's going to be gone. That's why sound doctrine is so important. So our prayers come in with a whole package of going to him with the belief of receiving, but with the understanding of it has to fit within a certain boundary that he created, certain boundaries that he created for that process to work.
Thank you.
Yep. Other questions?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mark 9 verses, specifically verse 42, but I'll start in verse 40. For whoever is not against us is for us, and whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it will be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. So verse 42, where they're talking about, because whoever causes one of these little ones, is he talking about Christians or babes in Christ? He's not talking about children, correct?
Right. He's not talking about actual children, even though they're included in it. He's talking about all babes in Christ, or all people that have this opportunity. If what we're doing is causing a stumbling block, once again, which we don't take serious today, that's a huge verse in itself. I think we bypass that just thinking, oh, that's not me. And that the stumbling block aspect of our walk is huge. Please understand that. So the things I do have to be cognizant of how it is affecting others. Now, if I'm doing all I can with that mindset, then of course, you know, that's not me being a stumbling block. But if I'm a Christian still living with selfish ambition, following other nonsense out there, using other things equal to God in my walk, I can go down the list of garbage that we've added to our walk that is causing people to stumble. It has nothing to do with God. He's showing, I mean, and what he says in there, I mean, is devastating. It doesn't sound like you're going to lose a reward or two. It sounds devastating. So he literally means, if I'm living not focused how much of a stumbling block I can be, I probably need to do that. I did a Bible study on it years ago. I haven't done it in a while, but on stumbling blocks, we really need to watch. Are we being a stumbling block? But because we're, especially in our age, most of us, if not all of us on this phone, on this line, have been born in an age of, but I want to do what I want to do. We kind of live with this, but that's what I want. And I don't care how it makes you feel. And if it's a thing that's causing others to stumble, that's why even Paul says, if what I eat causes my brother to fall, you know what I mean? Then I've sinned against Christ. And he says, so I'll never eat meat again if that's what it'll do, not to cause my brother to fall. So we have to be focused on that. So yeah, he's not just talking about little children. He's talking about Christians or those that we're ministering to. And today, there's a lot of people that fall into that because we're following these politics. We're adding, we have tainted God's word with other nonsense. That's why I always tell people, please be careful of these conspiracies. Please be careful of the certain things going on the internet. Please be careful of other books, of these people who come out talking like they know what they're talking about. If you listen, that's your own, caution. But understand, if you allow that to seep into ministry where it blends with God, that's a stumbling block. And you're going to have to answer to God for that. So by all means, be careful or cut it out and just do what God's word says.
Thank you. Yep. Luke 7, verse 23, but I'll start in 22. So yep. He replied, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. My question is, why would they fall away on account of him?
People do it every day. What he means by that is, first of all, if you know that verse, John the Baptist, who he said is the greatest of all men, started doubting. He was in jail going, told his disciples, can y'all go check with him and see if he's really Christ? You understand? I mean, he's the one who led the pathway to it. He's the one who was, preaching him, and he was just, really led the way for him, as scripture said he was going to do. Now he is sitting in jail and he was probably feeling defeated. And his response was, can y'all check and see if it's really, and if you notice how Jesus answered him when he says, those lines of who those are healed, those came from like Isaiah, they came from Jeremiah. He's basically saying, I'm doing exactly what scripture says, so you're good. Do you understand that? But what tends to happen, and this is where it's perfect, and why I'm saying it happens more than not, we've turned Christianity into a feel-good thing. That's why people go to Itching Ear Ministries. I want to hear what I want to hear. What I don't want to hear is the things, I don't want to hear God say no. If most people got the ministry of, hey, God, this thorn is killing me, it's tormenting me, please get rid of it. And he goes, no. And this is where people struggle. He said, no, I quit. And more today leave Christianity because of Christ than they realize, because we're so self-centered. You know what I mean? There's struggle we have to go through. There are trials we have to go through. Yes, that stuff exists. People are going to die. Things aren't going to always work out. I get it. I don't like everything that happens, but you have more and more people that you see after a while go, I'm done. Because I think we think Christianity is, I did this for a long enough time. It could be 2 months, maybe a year. God, I'm done. And if you're not going to do anything else, I'm moving on. And they're falling on account of him. Of your word says this, it's not doing what I want it to. I'm out of here. Like what happened to Job would have been unheard of. People would have left, and you would have a lot of people following those same people going, man, that was cold. I can't believe, God did that. Still realizing he's God. I got to do the sermon on God is sovereign again soon, because it's just, I think we've lost that to where we treat God like he owes us something, like we're doing him a favor. So that happens more than not, in which when we truly follow the Bible, and people don't like the outcomes or the things that are happening, they leave.
Thank you. That makes sense.
Amen.
And my last question is Hebrews 10:35, and I'll just read the verse before. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So my question is the confidence part, because I thought we weren't supposed to be confident.
Right. We're not supposed to be confident people. We're supposed to be confident in him. That's why there's another verse that says, take pride in yourself. But that, if you read that verse, it's talking about your relationship with him. So there is a confidence we have, but it's really, if you put both of them together, it's saying, I'm really having confidence in him. You know what I mean? Like a lot of us will lose a lot of things in this life knowing, but what I have coming, this doesn't matter. You'll live with that mindset. Same thing, the pride we have won't be because look at how, you know, I studied, look at all this work that I did, look at all this stuff, look at my degrees. No, it'll always be in Christ. The pride you only have is your trust in Christ. The pride you have will be your faith, and it'll be shown in how you live, not one of these fake things of how faithful I am, look how great I am in my faith. It'll be a humble thing, actually. And you'll take no credit, and the pride you'll have is in him in you. So the confidence is not in yourself. It's the confidence in him. Just like jealousy. Remember that sometimes we take the word itself and it can be wrong. It's just the act of sinful nature. Jealousy is in there. But that's when jealousy is based on me. But if you remember when Paul said, I have a jealousy for Christ, for y'all, he's saying as Christians, I'm watching you guys do all this other stuff. So I'm jealous for God for you. So that's okay. And then we know God says he's a jealous God. So when we use these words, when it's pertaining to God and focused on God as the centerpiece, then it's fine. But when it's based on self is when it's a problem, a major problem, self or anything else other than God.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions?
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. So, on Sunday's teaching, you were talking about, not being friends with the world. That's, you know, being friends with the world, mm-hmm. you know, partner mm-hmm. with the world, be friends with the world. Mm-hmm. So that's a piece of the second question. The first question is Proverbs 3:27, where it says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them.
Yep.
So how do we know who deserved the good?
What that means is if you're going to help somebody and you make up some other weird excuse, you know, some people can be weird to where I had planned on giving it to them. I just didn't want to give it to them now. You know how we do dumb stuff like that? And it's dumb stuff. And I'm sure, unfortunately, humans have their reason of, well, why didn't you just give it to them? How come you just didn't do it now? In those certain cases when you could have, and instead of having a legitimate reason, you usually have, because I have the power reason. So it's not just, it's not us measuring who is for good. It's if I planned on doing it for the poor, if I planned on doing it for this person, if I planned on, why am I not doing it? And if it's for some other weird reason, he's like, that's evil. We shouldn't play games. If somebody needs help, help them. Do you know what I mean? You don't play games in the way that we do. If you watch human nature sometimes, especially how we do it today, we tend to allow our attitudes and how we deal with people, and especially Christians, once again, when we do for others, we want them to see God. I don't want them to see me. But a lot of times we then take that power and treat them with it. Now, remember this. Remember what I'm doing for you. You remember, and that's wrong. We are not supposed to do that. So that's, you know, it's basically just saying, if that's what you're supposed to do, do it. You know what I mean? Don't, if you say you're going to help them, don't hold off them when, oh, I don't have it right now. When you have it, and then next week, okay, now I have it. Why did you make them go through that when you already had it? You understand that? So it's the games that we play that we still see today that it's saying not to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So being friends with the world.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out how that plays out. For instance, you know, we talk about the good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. So suppose the good Samaritan was the one that was laying on the side of the road and the non-Samaritan helped him and took care of him. So like in a situation where I know someone, they're a Christian and they're sickly and they have really no one
right.
that can, you know, to really help them. So one of the neighbors is befriended her and helps her out, takes care of her, gets groceries and stuff like that.
Yep.
Is that being a friend to the world or not?
So you're using, because it's one of those times where we're using the definition incorrectly. Friend is almost like partner. Because it's a two-way relationship. It's which I'm giving and they're giving and we have both say in the whole thing. No, what she's being to that neighbor, what she got to make in mind, what she's being to that neighbor is a good Samaritan. She's being a neighbor. It's my neighbor needs help. You understand?
No, her neighbor's taking care of her.
Okay, same way. So in the same way, she appreciates her neighbor. Now, if she's a Christian and her neighbors of the world, she still realizes what's going on in that. And she appreciates her neighbor taking care of her, and amen to that. So it's nothing wrong with them giving you help. In fact, when you receive help from somebody, that's one thing. However, if that person came in and said, so now that I'm helping you, I want you to accept this in your life and do this. And when it goes against God, in the most loving and appreciative way, you have to go, I can't do that. Do you understand that? Because that's what I'm saying. You don't go, well, they did so much for me, I can't say no. That's when we then turned it into a partnership. And sometimes people are going to be challenged with that. And as Christians, this is why we have to be very careful, because you'll get caught in that, where somebody will do for you, then they'll turn around with the mindset of, well, after all I did for you, I just want you to accept this part of my lifestyle. And this is why we have to be careful with the world, because the world's going to have its own values and views. And then when you're saying, but I can't do that, then it looks like you turned on them. But when we're just in the way that God says, we keep a distance to where we can display God without looking like hypocrites or looking like we're taking advantage of, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right.
Make sense?
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Good job.